Tantor Audio presents His by Aubrey Dark, narrated by Carly Robbins. Chapter 1. Gav. The best part about choosing a victim? Well, for me, it's the little things. Seeing what they do for fun, that's always eye-opening. This one, my next, he was a strange man. He normally went from his job as a university attorney to his home, where he would beat his wife and son, and then go to sleep. He had only one minor deviation in his schedule. Every week or so, on a Saturday, he would stop off at the college library to drop off and pick up a book. A legal thriller. They were always legal thrillers. Legal thrillers and crime fiction. Bah. The authors writing that stuff don't know what it's like, or they would write it different. They don't know the pleasure of driving a knife into someone's hand as they cry for mercy. The pleasure of seeing the blood bubble on their lips when their throat is cut. The pleasure of all the screams. The screaming drowns out the thing that drives me mad. It drives away the shadow. Yes, I'm sanest when I kill. Usually the men I kill are the ones who make sure their own misdeeds go unseen. When they beat their wives, they hit them in the stomach. They would never leave a mark, or society would know. I don't mind leaving marks. Nobody will see their bodies anyway. They're cowards, all of them. Cowards and bullies that will disappear without a trace. I climb the library staircase to the second floor, where the genre fiction is kept, thinking about how I will do it, even as I watch him climb the stairs above me. His legs move like puppet legs, wooden and mechanical up the steps, inhuman. I'll follow him to his car, I think. Then the syringe, the catch, then the kill. Cat. It was a beautiful spring day in California. The arboretum glowed with dappled sunlight, and college students wandered lazily through the green paths, enjoying a weekend off from class. In the native sagebrush, orange butterflies danced in the air, and above us, oak leaves glittered silver in the breeze. I couldn't have cared less. "Will you hurry up, Jules, please?" Cat. "You have got to be the most boring person I know. Stop and smell the roses, and by that I mean there's a super cute guy over there painting in the rose garden." Jules tilted her head to one side, her purple-tinted bangs falling over her face. "An artistic guy. I like that." "We don't have time for guys. We're already late." I was shuffling quickly through the arboretum, dragging my coworker behind me through the gardens. All around us, college students wandered lazily around in pairs and groups. A dozen sorority girls had put out a blanket so they could work on their tans on the grassy lawn, and every guy who walked past slowed to half-time to gaze at the rainbow of bikini bottoms covering skinny tan asses. I shoved my way past the ogling meatheads. "We're only like 10 minutes late," Jules said, sighing as I yanked her out of the sunny arboretum and through the library doors. We hustled past the front counter to the back, where I grabbed a cart quickly and pretended that I had already started shelving. "You're so lucky Cheryl is late." Our boss was, as Jules put it, more sadistic than Disney's Ursula and less forgiving than Inspector Javert. "Lucky? Nothing. I knew she would be late. You want to skip back out to the arboretum and check out that artsy guy?" Jules gave an exaggerated wink. "No." "You're never going to find a date with that attitude." "I date plenty of guys." "Sure, Cat." "Right." "I do." My cheeks flushed as I pushed the library cart full of books to the elevator. Jules followed me, flipping through one of the books that we'd just gotten in. "Since when do you read romance novels anyway?" I asked, hoping to change the subject. "Ugh, never," Jules said, tossing the book back onto the cart. Such boring protagonists. The same old plot. Romantic heroes doing romantic gestures. Maybe you should read one, though. Ha! There was nothing in those bosom-heaving books I found sexy. I would never admit it out loud, but even the new racier stuff didn't do much for me. I wanted a hero who would push me to the edge of insanity, a man who would make me feel. Why would I read, The Rogue's Hidden Past? I asked. Let's see, Jules said, pointing to the back cover. To find out his terrible dark secret? I bet it has something to do with kilts. Did you see this cover? Those are some sexy man legs. Man legs that could be wrapped around your waist. Jules! You know why you should read this, Cat? You should read it because it might get you in the mood for some sexing. Jules, I pushed the book cart harder toward the elevator. So much for changing subjects. What? Cat, really? You haven't gone on a single date since you started working here. That's because I just started working here. 2 months ago, Jules said, rolling her eyes. 2 months is not a lot of time to meet a guy. God, had it been 2 months already? I definitely had to get out more. But overtime at the university paid well, really well, and I was saving up. Plus, I have to work. Work, schmuck. Come out to the bars for once. Isn't it your birthday soon? Maybe. Maybe? Yes, next week, I sighed. I was turning 23, and I was still a junior at college. Well, now not even a junior, unless I could get financial aid. All around me, I saw people a year or two younger than me, graduating, getting jobs. And here I was, falling even further behind them. Ugh. I can't, Jules. My loans fell through, and if I don't save enough for tuition, I won't be able to come back next semester, Jules said, finishing my sentence for me. You know, you don't have to spend money at a bar. I'll buy you a drink. Guys will buy you drinks, especially if it's your birthday. I don't want a guy to buy me a drink. They always think that I owe them something afterward. You do. Just like you owe me some sex for the last time I covered you for a six-pack. Is that an offer? I don't even know how lesbian sex works. It would work better than your current sex life, or lack thereof. Oh, man, better call the fire squad. I just got burned. No, but seriously, I'm ready to do a sex intervention, Cat. A sextervention. That's not a word. Stop being so boring. Boring? My mouth dropped open. I am not boring. Compared to Jules, I was boring. If a 70s punk rock star had sex with a Japanese schoolgirl and had a baby, that baby would be her wardrobe. Her hair was buzzed and spiked except for her long bangs. Her tongue was pierced, along with a few other body parts, and her roster of guys and girls rotated as quickly as her clothes selection. When's the last time you kissed a guy? Or flirted with one? I haven't seen a lot of guys around, I said, shifting my weight from one foot to another. I knew that was an excuse. There were plenty of hot guys around the university. I just didn't want to be rejected again. It seemed like every girl at school was a hot blonde sorority chick, and I was a mousy brown pile of nothing. Even when I put on makeup, it seemed futile. And there was something more than that. The boys I'd dated, they'd always been vanilla. Maybe it was all of the books I'd read, but I wanted more. I wanted the whips and ties, the spanking, the whole shebang. But I had always been too shy to bring it up except once, and the guy had looked at me like I was crazy. Maybe I was crazy. Maybe nobody actually did that in real life. I couldn't help but dream of a man who could dominate me the way I really wanted, even if he didn't exist. I shook the dream out of my head. I definitely wasn't telling Jules any of that. Plus, they would never go for me. I'm not even a student here anymore now. Jules pushed the elevator button and held out a fist in front of me. Look, do you see this? What is this? She waved her fist inches from my nose. Are you going to punch me? No. Are you trying to teach me sign language? No. Is this you coming out to me as a member of the Black Panthers? Jules opened her fist to show an empty hand. This. There's nothing there. Exactly. This, she said, waving her empty hand around, is all the fucks I give about you not being a student. I don't care. Nobody cares. All the guys looking to get laid do not give a single solitary fuck about you not being a student. Fine, fine. Jules may not have had the most eloquent way of getting a point across, but it got there. You tell me what to do to get a boyfriend. I'll do it. Jules held the elevator door open for me. I pushed the library card in. She followed and smashed the elevator button for the third floor with her fist. I winced. Okay, look. The next cute guy you meet, you have to kiss. What? My pale skin immediately blushed red hot. No way. Way. Jules raised an eyebrow at me. You said you would. I looked over at my coworker. She raised a fist, and I knew my pleas would fall on deaf ears. She truly gave no fucks, and she also might punch me. Fine, I said, plotting to leave work early so I wouldn't have to get dragged to a bar. If I never saw a cute guy, I wouldn't have to kiss him. Right? Right. My plan would work perfectly. Fine? Fine. You know what? Fine. I will. Good. If it'll get you to shut up about my dating life, or lack thereof. Or lack thereof, I repeated. Excellent, Jules said. You might escape a life of boring tedium yet. And I'll have nobody but you to thank for it. The elevator jerked to a halt at the second floor, and the doors opened. The man standing in front of the elevator doors took a step forward. He was dressed in a crisp, white button-down shirt and black pants, with dark brown hair and a sharp jawline that hinted at a 5 o'clock shadow without admitting of stubble. When he looked up at me, his eyes were like the ocean before a storm. Gray-green slate, calm and confident. I dropped my eyes and saw that the top button of his shirt was opened, his smooth chest peeking out from the fabric. He looked like a model from the cover of the romance novel Jules had just tossed onto the book cart. He looked like someone who could tie me up, hold me down, fuck me hard and crazy. I blew a low breath through my teeth. Welp, this is my stop, Jules said, hopping out of the elevator before I could think about anything other than those eyes. See you on the third floor. Wait. Oh, shit. No, I couldn't. I tried to push the card out, but Jules shoved it back at me. A half dozen books spilled out of the bottom shelf. One more floor, cat, Jules said, her voice forced and bright. As the man turned and stood next to me, Jules coughed in his direction, her eyes wide as saucers. My mouth dropped open. No, I couldn't. I couldn't. Oh, God, I couldn't. Jules raised her fist as the doors closed. Oh, God, I had to. Gav. The days before a kill are delicious. I savor them. Every minute I spend tracking and following gets me more and more aroused, more hungry. The thing I crave is a thrill I can only get from another's death, the look on their face when they realize I'm about to end their life. Like a shot of heroin, straight to the heart. Not that I do drugs, mind you. I used to, but you grow bored with drugs after a while. And I've never grown bored of killing. The shadow drives me out to look for prey. But that's not the real reason I was there. I don't just kill because I need to. I kill because I want to. I'd prepared almost everything this time for my spring kill. I'd cleaned out the kitchen, gotten everything set up. I had to pick up some new batteries for my alarm system, but that could wait until tomorrow. I still had another week before the man would return to this same library. I stepped into the elevator and picked up the books the library worker had dropped, setting them back on the cart for her. There was something in the way she looked at me that gave me pause. Did she recognize me? Had she seen me following the steps of the man I was about to kill? I glanced again out of the corner of my eyes. She was staring at me like she knew I was a killer. Fear beaded on her forehead. I turned to her, and she swallowed.
"I'm sorry," I said politely, consciously relaxing my jaw. "Do I know you?"
"I'm sorry," she replied. I have to do this. Cat. I threw myself forward, my eyes closed. God will forgive me, I thought, but Jules never will if I don't kiss this guy. The man didn't even flinch as I pressed my lips to his. I smelled the subtle touch of his aftershave on his cheeks, and his skin was soft against mine. I expected him to shove me away, to yell at me, to get me fired. Oh, Lord, I hadn't even thought about that. I expected, that is, just about any reaction other than the one that actually occurred. He kissed me back. As soon as I felt my lips touch his, a spark flashed through my nerves, drawing me close to him. One of his hands gripped my wrist, and the other gripped my waist. He wasn't pushing me away. He was simply holding me, as though there was nothing strange at all about a girl throwing herself into his arms. His lips pressed back on mine, seizing me, and dizziness seized me, making the walls of the elevator spin as he kissed harder, harder, sucking the breath out of me. Yes, I've kissed guys before. No, I'm not a virgin. I've dated around and even had a couple of one-night stands. This, though? This was different. There was a ferocity in his kiss that swept me up completely, a brutal hunger that spoke of a desire no other man had ever revealed. Maybe no other man had ever felt it. Whatever it was, it shocked my entire body so much that I couldn't respond, couldn't do anything but keep kissing him back. This was what I wanted, the way he held me so completely in control, the way he pushed harder against me, brutally. In that instant, I imagined him taking me wholly, violently, making all of my dark fantasies come true. Then the elevator stopped, and so did he. As he stepped back, I had to lean on the cart to keep from falling over. Swooning, I guess they would call it in a romance novel. His eyes searched mine, and a chill went through my bones. From up close, I could see his eyes, and they were flat, a green-gray swirl that stopped on the surface. It was like looking into the eyes of a statue. Lifeless. Disappointment trickled down at the back of my mind. For me, it had been the best kiss I'd ever had. For him, though, it seemed like nothing at all had happened. The elevator doors opened, and still I stood there like a dummy. The doors had started to close when his hand shot out to hold them back.
"This is your stop?" he asked.
I stammered. I moved slowly like I was underwater. One of the library cartwheels got stuck in the elevator gap, and I shoved it hard to get it going. It was only when I finally got the cart out of the elevator that I realized what the overall goal of this whole thing had been. I turned around to face him. Would you like to go out on a date?
Sorry,
he said, smiling just as politely as before, the skin around his eyes smooth and soft.
I don't date.
With that, he let go, and the steel elevator doors closed slowly over his gorgeous face, his flat, empty ocean eyes. Jules came running over the staircase. My heart was pounding so fast that I thought I was going to have a panic attack. I pulled out my backup pills from my pocket and swallowed them dry. Panic attacks were no fun, and they definitely weren't fun at work. I was sure Cheryl was already looking for where her assistants had run off to. If I could just breathe normally until the anti-anxiety meds kicked in, I'd be fine.
"Are you okay, Kat?"
she asked. I gulped and pressed my lips together. "Fine. I'm fine. Totally 100% fine. Just need to calm down a little."
"And did you do it?"
I shook my head, blushing hard as I pushed the library card into the stacks.
Why did I lie? I don't know, not really. I didn't want to provoke myself into another anxiety attack, that was one thing. Reliving the kiss that had just happened, well, just thinking about it sent me into a dizzy spin. But that wasn't everything. There was something else that I couldn't talk about, not with Jules. I was sure she'd mock me mercilessly. But I couldn't explain what had come over me, and I definitely didn't want to explain to her how he'd kissed me back and sent my heart racing, and my mind down a road of dark, sensual daydreams, and then left me without so much as a phone number. Anyway, there was no way I would ever date that guy. Apart from the fact that he was way out of my league, he apparently didn't date. And the way he looked at me was weird. No, I said, picking a book up to reshelve it and casting one last glance over at the closed elevator. Cat, how could you do this to me? That guy was like Fabio. You passed up the chance of a lifetime. I shrugged my shoulders, trying not to give myself away. Lucky for me, I blush at the drop of a hat so Jules could believe that I was all hot and bothered by nothing more than standing at Fabio's side in an elevator. I knew differently. That kiss was something I wanted to keep a secret. For some reason, I thought that the man with the cold gray-green eyes would feel the same way. Guess I'm boring after all. Chapter 2 Gav. I reached the fourth floor and passed by the man I was going to kill later. His cologne was horribly overpowering. I could smell it as I crossed behind him, one aisle of books away. The shadow came with me, urging me on. I pushed it back. Patience. Yes, we would have to be patient. But as I walked down the aisle, I thought that maybe I could kill a week early. He was going through exactly the same motions as he had the week before, and the week before that. Maybe an early kill, if the parking lot was clear, if I had the opportunity. I smiled, glad that I'd thought to bring the syringe with me. I tried to make every tracking as much like the real thing as possible. Preparation, yes, that's what separated the good killer from the great. I picked out a book at random and opened it up, holding it in front of me, without seeing the words. The man shuffled his feet and stood, indecisive, in front of the shelves. Pick one, I thought. You won't get to read it anyway. The smell of the book in my hands was an old smell. The smell of paper rotting into dust. Libraries were resting homes for all of the dying books. Dead books, dead authors. Incredible that characters could live so much longer than the people who wrote them. A character in a book might live forever, as long as there was someone there to read him and remember him. We, though, are mortal, and I do not expect anyone to remember me, and certainly nobody will remember him. The man took a book from the shelf, and I followed carefully, taking the stairs on the opposite side. I didn't want to see the girl again, for she might remember me, the girl who kissed me. I remembered only her eyes. They were brown and sad. I cannot tell you anything else about her, though. She came and went, like any other woman in my life, in and out, before I could care enough to remember. My thoughts were only on the syringe in my pocket, and the man whose life I would steal away before he harmed the world any more than he already has. Maybe his wife will remember him, I thought. I smiled. I thought of myself as a kind of assassin, one who works for free. A pro bono hitman. Charity work, not murder. We were down the stairs. I followed him to the counter and out the door. He had the book in his hands. He would never get the chance to read it. Poor characters in the book. They would die too, being left unread. He crossed the parking lot and I followed him, checking around the library. Nobody was there. I could do it tonight. Yes, the preparations were nearly done. Why not? I deserved a bit of respite from the shadow. Sometimes the world makes itself just right. The wind blows a certain way. People walk with puppet strings attached to their limbs, and I feel like the puppet master. That was how he walked, across the parking lot, toward the place where I would take him. I had made up my mind. I would do it tonight, a week early. It was the perfect opportunity, and I would not pass it up. He was at his car, and I was there at my car next to him, where I'd left it, trunk unlocked. Before he could open the door, I spoke out loud, angrily. "Did you see who parked on the other side of me? Some asshole keyed my car door." The man raised his eyebrows and came around to my side of the car. He was curious. Perfect. We're all excited to see destruction, of course. We all want to stare at the damage someone else has caused. I'm just more honest than everyone else. I don't wait for the damage to come to me. I go out and find it. Oh, the man. Yes, him. One plunge of the syringe was all it took, and he was already unconscious. It only took a second more to toss him into the trunk. The book went on top of his limp body. Patience had gone out the window. I was so lucky to have had a clear shot, and the adrenaline that rushes through me when I took it. It was like nothing else. Excitement pumped through my veins as I got into the car and drove away. The body in my trunk. Tonight, I would cut off his abusive hands and carve a knife deep into his skin until the tendons pop. I expected that he would cry. Most of them do. I expected that he would beg for mercy. The shadow would retreat with the sounds of his screams. I would hurt him for myself and for the people he had hurt. He would beg me to let him live. And then later, he would beg to die. Cat. Jules was right. I was boring as hell. I wrote my phone number down on a scrap of paper and ran downstairs after the guy to give it to him, but I couldn't even bring myself to follow him outside. It looked like he was going to talk to that other guy, the professor with the creepy mustache who always checks out the legal thrillers. I didn't want to bother him. Bother them. I didn't want to be a bother to anyone. When I die, they're going to write it on my tombstone. Here lies Cat, the boringest girl ever, and totally chicken shit. At least, she didn't bother anybody. I don't know if you're allowed to swear on gravestones, though. Sighing, I threw the rest of the audiobooks down into the crate to go out for interlibrary loan. Stupid me. I should have run after him, even if he said he didn't date. That night, I lay in bed and thought about his eyes. Thought if I should have gone after him. I'd never felt that kind of chemistry with any guy before. What if he was my one true love, and this was my one chance to get with him? Okay, maybe that was a bit melodramatic, but still. I started looking at every guy who came through the library doors to see if it was him. He didn't come back. The next day, I felt somewhat better about not giving him my phone number. What kind of a guy kisses a girl back in an elevator, even if I did start it? I told myself that I needed to kiss another guy and get over it. There weren't any cute guys in the library, though, and the only person who got on the elevator with me was a 60-year-old professor with white hair tufting out of his freckled ears. I sighed and pushed the cart back into the storage room. Still thinking about Fabio? Ugh, Jules, shut up. He dropped something up in the stacks yesterday. What? Jules pulled a folded piece of paper from her pocket and handed it over to me. I was just going to throw it away, but you're mooning over this guy hard. Maybe if you see him again, you can give it to him. I unfolded the slip of paper. It had a few lines of numbers written down on it, a code or something. Next to one of the lines, the word important was underlined twice. What is this? Beats me. Maybe you can ask him to explain it to you when you see him. I'm not going to see him. I'd already resigned myself to not ever finding him again. Okay, yes, I was boring. But I also wasn't about to go chasing a guy who had already told me he didn't date. What kind of guy didn't date? It was the politest brush-off I'd ever gotten. If you see him, then you can talk to him again.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?